You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, right here in sunny Coco, Florida. It feels like Hawaii with Paul sitting there with that shirt on.
I know. Everybody's
looks like
so festive.
So tropical today. We're heard on AM 1510 WWBC. We're on FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere on God's magnificent planet.
Right, all over the World Wide Web on 1510wwbc.com. You can get all of our shows. All you have to do is hit that Listen Live button, and you can get it on any portable device that you have. Or if you want to listen to the show afterward, we have our last 12 years of shows. Well, not all of them, but pretty close.
Well, very close.
On the archives, as well as on our website, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and SitaMediaInc.com.
Right, and our guest who's calling in from Utah today already asked me how he's going to get his podcast.
That's right. And we get those MP4'd about a few hours usually right after the show. They're uploaded right onto the page. And then usually takes me a day or so to get some editing done. And then we add some pictures and make it fly.
Right. So Ellen and myself, we sit here every Monday. Sometimes we have our social media coordinator, Samantha, who's with us. And we talk about kitchen table topics. We talk about things that are going on around the world, around the nation, in people's homes, in people's lives. Life is politics, whether we know it or not. We speak about fair housing. We speak about infrastructure. We speak about getting involved and voting. We encourage people to check their candidates out and make an informed decision about their own lives, not somebody else's, not the candidate or their political party affiliation, but their issues. So we encourage people to stay engaged and involved year-round. But we also branch out our show into talking to scientists and lawyers and authors and teachers and writers. And, of course, our show has become a place for so many authors. Authors have a story to tell. And today's no different. On our show today, we have two guests who are in studio. My good friend Tammy reached out to me, and she wanted me to have her brother on the show. And he is running for District 2 County Commission. His name is Chris Hathaway. Hathaway, like hat.
Throw
like
hat
my
missing away.
Hat. Like the hat I always lost in Mexico 2 weeks ago. Tammy Hilton, thank you for being here, and thank you for bringing your brother to our show.
Well, thank you for having him.
Right, and you guys are going to go on second, but before we start talking about the county commissioner's race and why Chris is running, we have a guest who's calling in from Utah. And he's calling in to speak about his wife's book. There was a gal who wrote a book called The Terrible, Terrible Tiger. And her name was, her author name is Robin Wobbly Ann Davis. And her husband, Lloyd, who I've been communicating with all this time, I hadn't realized that his wife passed away 3 years ago. And he's calling in today from Utah on a show to speak about the book and his wife and why he decided to honor her memory and publish this book. So, Mr. Lloyd Davis, welcome to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Thank you, Sita. I sure appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time to call in and speak about the children's book that your wife wrote. And apparently, the book was stories that her father used to tell her. But before we jump into that, let's talk a little bit about your background and bring us up to speed. What's happening with you and the three children after Robin passed away?
Well, thank you, Sita. Actually, I'm a politician as well. I ran for office just for Jim's benefit. I ran for office several times, but I am now. I am a father of three children, and the kids are doing great. My wife. We have a daughter together, and she's 19 years old, and she's doing awesome and about to go to college. But I'm just doing the thing I do. I work, and I'm a parent, and I work in the health industry, and in an insurance brokerage. And we're just kind of doing life, you know, we just live in life, and we live in Utah, and I'm grateful to be here today.
Yeah, well, you know, every day we wake up is a great day, right? Every day you wake up breathing and you could give back to the world, whether it's through politics or writing or being an insurance agent or working as a nurse, a policeman, a teacher, a doctor, an entertainer, whatever it is, we found our purpose and we're doing it. May I ask what sort of politics were you running for? What seat?
Utah State House Representatives.
Wow. Well, thank you for throwing your hat in the ring, even if... You know, you're not there right now. You saw a need for something to be done in your community, and you did it. And you would agree with me that running for office is no picnic.
No, it is difficult work, as Jim can tell you. It's hard. It's grueling. It's worth it because you're serving the people, and that's what it's all about, serving the people, and that's why I ran.
Right, and it's not about serving only certain people. It's about serving all the people collectively.
Everyone.
Well, that's what our friend Chris is going to be talking about later, because he is going to be serving all the people, not just certain people. So let's talk about the book. Tell us why you chose that name for the book. Did you choose that name, or did your wife, your deceased wife, choose that name before she passed?
My wife, Robin, chose the name. It's Terrible, Terrible Tiger is a story that her dad, John Van Orman, told her and her siblings as children growing up. And The Terrible, Terrible Tiger was Robin's favorite story.
Oh, so now she put it in words before she died. She wrote the book.
Yes.
So then did you have to do any finishing touches? Like who did the cover? Who did the illustration and all that thing? That sort of thing.
Yeah, actually she wrote it probably the first 3 years before she passed away. And she could never really finish it because she got ill and her health got bad, and so she kind of stopped. It was all completed and written, but I had to work with Page Publishing, the publisher, to do all the illustrations and to find editing and all that stuff. I did all that with Page Publishing.
Yeah. Well, you are a terrific husband for following through on her dream because, you know, I haven't written a book myself. I know once you write a book, and Ellen's written quite a few, once you write books, they're part of you. They're like a baby, like you're giving birth to it. It's your story, it's what you wanted to get out to the world, and it's what you're leaving that legacy behind. And even though she passed away from our planet, you saw fit to make sure that her legacy was followed through on. And how did the children feel about you publishing the book?
Oh, my children and also my wife's family, who her siblings and her mother was just excited, ecstatic about it, because this is something that Robin always wanted to do, publish her dad's story, and she dedicated it to him. And the kids and my in-laws, Robin's family, again, are just very, very excited, very supportive, and because it was Robin's dream to have it published. That's why I did it.
Right. So tell us a little bit about the book without giving away too much of it. Tell us a little bit about this tiger.
Okay. Yeah, The Terrible, Terrible Tiger is, the whole book's about, he is the bully, I guess the antagonist in the book. He's the bully, and he always went around and bullying and growling at, and other animals in the forest were scared to death of him. And then, so he was doing that for a while, and then all of a sudden, this bear cub, it's actually a bear cub, Johnny, he had enough. So he went to the tiger, and he stood up to the tiger and stomped on his tail, and they became friends. And so the tiger no longer antagonized and scared all the animals in the forest because he was, I guess, tamed, if you will, by Johnny the Bear.
It's a charming story.
It is.
Can you tell me how long ago her father, how many years ago her father was telling this story? Because there's a lot going on in the United States right now, and it sounds to me like someone was way ahead of their time,
right,
putting into their kids what was really important in life.
Yeah, he would tell his children probably the 70s and early 80s. That's when he grew up.
And then we would watch...
The 70s and 80s, and that's when he was doing it.
So 40 years ago, there was, you know, families were raising their children, right? And it's amazing that over the last 10, 15 years, that now we have anti-bullying laws and that those things are happening in the schools. But it was actually, you know, families a long time ago, you know, they say it takes a village to raise kids.
Right.
And that's a village story where you pass it along from generation to generation. And it's a good message of don't bully, don't be the bully, which is incredible that that story has lasted so many years. And now here it is, it's published and
yes.
You're continuing.
And it can make a difference, right? Because basically what they did is instead of walking away, you embrace yes. someone.
Yes.
And so her dad, I could just see the scene that her, it sounds to me like her dad was sitting somewhere with a fireplace on with all his children and telling the story. And I feel like I could hear Robin saying, "Daddy, tell me that story again."
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's what he did. Her dad, John, was a fireman, actually. A fireman. And he sat down with his children and he told them stories. I mean, numerous stories, many of them. And he just loved his children so much. He talked to them through the stories he told them. And this was a great, and I agree with you, Jim, this is a great anti-bullying story. But he just loved his children so much. He shared with them all these stories, and this is my wife's favorite.
Yeah. And did you find, like, in your household, was there love for animals after this book was published or before? Because it sounds to me like you're not only instilling the value of humanity, but you're also embracing the animals as well.
Yeah, we had a lot of pets. I mean, my wife grew up with cats and dogs and a lot of pets, and we have pets now. So yeah, we've always had pets growing up, and I loved it. They had a ton of cats.
Yeah.
They love their pets. So yeah, that's
yeah.
a good point.
Usually people who love animals, their heart is always so soft
yes.
and compassionate, right? So did you find that writing the book, now when the book was published, is Robin's name on it as author or is your name on as the author?
Oh, Robin's. It's her book.
Okay.
She's on there. Author's Robin Wobbly Ann Davis. It's all hers.
Yeah.
It's all
hers. Where does the Wobbly Ann come from? Was that her maiden name?
No, that's a nickname her dad gave her when she was a kid. It just because she had diabetic. She's diabetic, and so she was sometimes, you know, she'd wobble around because she was, you know, if she was not feeling very well. And dad just, you know, Robin Ann, and Ann's a middle name, so it's Robin Ann. He's Wobbly Ann. Her dad gave that to her.
Oh, so like if she was having tremors or if she was having a reaction from diabetes
yeah.
or something.
You
know, that's a good way of. If calming children down if they have a disease or something, to find a nickname and kind of say, well, that disease has moved into your body, let's just give it a name.
Yes.
Right? I find a
yeah.
lot of people do that, and it's our parent way of saying to the child, don't be scared because this is part of you.
Embrace who you are.
Yeah. And her dad sounded like a really great man. So did you find... Go ahead.
Awesome,
tell us a little bit about her dad.
Okay, he was is John Van Orman. He was actually born in Canada, and he came here and married Orilla Larson and have 8 kids. And he loved his children. I mean, I never met anybody in my life who loved children more than John Van Orman. And he was just he had a pure golden heart, and he loved his kids and his grandkids. And yeah, he was just and he was a fireman. And he was it was interesting when he passed away as a heart attack in '99. We had a funeral, and all the firemen, and they put all his casket on a fire engine, and they all just followed the fire engine with the casket on it to cemetery, the procession. It was very, very cool.
So it sounds like it was very, very cool. I wonder what his secret was that he lived to be 99, because I work in a nursing facility, and my patients who are over 95, they always say there were 3 or 4 things that they normally do. Eat oatmeal. Eat an apple a day and pray to Jesus.
Amen.
Not necessarily in that order.
Not necessarily in that order, but I find that that's the trend. I bet you Mr. Orman did those 3 things.
Actually, see that. He died in 1999.
Okay. How old was he when he passed away?
58.
How much?
58.
Oh, 58. Oh, he, I see. But
he was still... in good health and being a fireman, but he was much loved by many people, I tell you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Mr. Lloyd Davis, who published his wife's book, even though she's no longer on this planet. She passed away a few years ago. The book is called The Terrible, Terrible Tiger, and the author is Robin Wobbly Ann Davis. So let's talk a little bit about the book. Did you find that writing energized or exhausted Robin? Was she happy to write the book? Was she energized? Or what was the time period that she wrote the book, and how long did it take her to write it?
Oh, yeah. Well, she, first of all, it took her probably three years to write it because her health. But she was excited and loved the story so much, loved her dad so much that she was just energized. And she'd write the book, she was energized. The biggest issue she had was trying to find an illustrator. She went to several illustrators who never really did very well. So that was her biggest issue, was finding a good illustrator. But I did that for her as with the publishing company. But she was energized. She loved the story. She loved her father. And she was so happy. Again, that was her goal. So happy to get the book published and turn the story into a children's book. That was just so exciting for her.
It's a dream come true. So yeah. Tell us the process that you went through to publish Robin's book.
Okay, well, she had it. It was written, it was on our PC, on a computer, so it was already written out for me in text form. So I basically found a publisher, and I emailed them the text of the book, transcript of the book. And then I was through them, I just worked with them to edit it, and then pick all the illustrations for the book. And we did all editing and illustrating, and it took me about 6 months to get it to where it was perfect, the condition I liked, and I would have known Robin would have liked to have it published. So it took her not too long to write it, but it took her long to try to find an illustrator. That was the biggest issue for her.
Yeah, I can imagine. But did you find like it was a spiritual process for you too? Because it sounds to me like you were still connected to Robin as you were going through the process, and I could feel it, like maybe you were talking to her as you were doing it. Like I talk to myself sometimes. But I'm pretty sure that you were talking as though Robin spiritually was still there with you.
Yes, yeah, so much. It was very spiritual, because I know she put. I told her before she passed away, when she was ill, she knew she was gonna be long world a lot longer on Earth, much longer. I mean, by within a few years. And we talked about it, and I knew her dream was to have it published. So I told her I would get it published for her. I made her that commitment. Yeah. She passed away.
Well, Lloyd, you're the man. You made it happen, right?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yes, exactly right. So I felt her directing me when I was doing it.
Yeah.
And I just felt the love of my love for Robin, and to get this done for her was overwhelming desire and motivating factor for me to do it.
So what do you think like literary success looks like now that you have the book published? And was this the first book that you had published, or are there going to be more?
There'll be more under my name, but this is Robin's first book. I had some short stories published years ago when I was in high school and college, but I'm writing a book myself. I'm an author as well. But this is Robin's first, and I'm just trying to get it out there and through your show and they get the exposure out there, so people can enjoy this book and buy more copies, and it's all about, I guess, exposure, I guess, and getting people to know about the book and how great a book it is, and you know, I just want to get people to enjoy this story that Robin loved so much.
Well, you know, in today's world, like Chris was saying, you know, we see so much hate and division and fear, and you know, people just not coming together and trying to be their brother's keeper the way they should, right? And it's very lovely to have someone like you publish a book that can encourage children to read. We see so many children who are on social media, on Facebook, on Instagram, and TikTok, and they won't read. So where can parents find this book, or children, if they want to buy a copy of it?
Well, thank you for asking that. I apologize for Chris for getting his name wrong a couple of times. I'm sorry about that.
It's kind of like a movie star name. Chris Hathaway.
Throw your hat away.
Yeah. Isn't it like a Chris, like a Platt? And, you know, there's so many Chris's in Hollywood, too. Yeah, go ahead. So where can we find a book?
It's online, in Barnes & Noble online. iTunes, Apple iTunes online store, Amazon, Google Play, again, on all Barnes & Noble, online Barnes & Noble. So, and they want to type in Terrible, Terrible Tiger, and then the Robin Wobbly Ann Davis. That way they'll get to the right there where the book is and Google it. But, again, Google Barnes & Noble, iTunes, Google Play, Amazon.
Oh, sweet. And did you have to edit any scenes out of the book after Robin passed away, or did you leave it intact the way she wrote it?
I left it intact, and they made a few grammatical adjustments. That's it.
Yeah, I think all of us have that, right? We all have that. So I think, Mr. Lloyd, maybe, you know, I've seen where people would take, like, a picture of the cover of the book, and then they would enlarge it and make, like, a painting out of it, or frame it and put it in the house somewhere. Mm-hmm. Can you see yourself doing something like that for you and the girls so that you have Robin there? Yeah, because we just pulled up her picture online. Beautiful woman. I can see you making the cover of the book part of the household.
Yes, exactly. I've framed copies already and given it to my children and my parents and Robin's mother and her siblings. All got a copy of the book. But the framed copy I gave to my parents and my kids.
Yeah, I could just feel like you're doing that. Now, we have a couple of minutes left, and I just wanted to ask you, so how does the town, are the townspeople showing interest when you have events scheduled to talk about the book? Because I could imagine that you and the children would have to speak about Robin and her life on this earthly journey and then jump into the book that she wrote. So how are you handling that with the press and with the people, the townsfolk, so to speak?
Well, the people who know, I mean, I haven't had any events, official events yet, but the people who, the community know about it, and I've talked to about it, and they're all so supportive, because they just, it's a good story, and also the story behind the book is excellent, with Robin's dad passing away, and then she dedicated to her, and me dedicated to Robin after she passed away. That's a great story, so everybody who hears that story is so supportive of it, and just really likes it, and then just latches on to it. It's just very positive, very, very positive, I should say.
Well, it's a very captivating story, I would think, and it really applies to today's world. Stories about love and compassion and reaching out and, you know, being taking people into your arms and embracing them. They're stories that we could use no matter how old we are. I don't think the book is only for children. I think adults can learn from it as well. And I see a police officer, Chris Hathaway, shaking his head. I'm going to let him say a couple more things to you, and then we're going to say goodbye.
Well, first of all, I want to say so thank you so much, Mr. Davis. The you know, one thing that I take away from going to public schools was my fifth grade teacher. She was fourth and fifth grade teacher. Her name's Julia Barnhouse. But when I was in fourth grade, she read us a poem, and it was "Everything I Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten." And that kind of takes me back now, you know, thinking about policing and everything else that we do. I'm actually going to buy it and make sure that my children's teachers have it, and that it's a staple in our house to remember how to raise our kids and the messages that we should give. So I'm so thankful that you took the time to pass on your wife's legacy and her father's legacy. I think you're making a great impact in the world just by stepping up and following through, and way to lead your family. Be a great father and show your daughters that and your children that it's important to follow through with what you believe in.
Right, and to honor the memory of someone that you love.
Yes.
It's just phenomenal. So we will post the book on our website. We will tell our friends and family about it. And I want to say to you, you know, Hospice of St. Francis is one of our sponsors. And there's so many hospices around the world that there are children that need books.
Yes.
When they're ill and stuff. So it might be an avenue for you to market the book as well, so that children in need, you know, people would sponsor books for them, you know. So once you start planning your events and stuff, you can explore that option, Mr. Davis, and have your events and, hey, get some potlucks going where people could sit down and have the fireplace going and talk about your wife, Mrs. Wobbly Ann, and speak about the book. You know, I think you're bringing back memories of America the way it used to be, and how families would sit down in one room and talk and visit instead of scattered all over our house. You know, so thank
I totally
you.
Agree with that. You couldn't have said I couldn't have said it better. See, that is totally what is needed. And if you would, if you permit me, see that I'll send you a free copy of the book. Would that be okay?
Yes, you can. I'll make sure I give it to my grandson.
And she's a good sharer.
Yeah, I'll give it to my grandson, and I will read it for other people, and I'll reach out to my contacts and tell them about the book as well.
Cool.
Thank you.
Can you give me just email me your address or send it to, and I'll be happy to do that.
I will.
We'll make sure
I
we
will.
Get all that out to you. Thank you, Mr. Lloyd Davis, for sharing that. What a fantastic book, fantastic story, a fantastic legacy. And wonderful
you
that you found each other, Sita and Lloyd.
Yes, so we're Sita gonna, and Lloyd.
That's right.
And Miss Wobbly Ann.
That's right. So moving on, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to our sponsors real quick, and we'll be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends with Chris Hathaway.
909 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud 9. That's Cloud number 9. Furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast Urgent Care centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MedFast, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral, and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. What a robust first segment speaking about a children's book, The Terrible, Terrible Tiger, with Mr. Lloyd Davis, who honored his wife's memory, Robin Davis, and he published her book. Our second segment is with our friend Chris Hathaway, with a H-A-T, like hat, like Ellen's hat.
Hathaway.
Hathaway, that's a good American name. And Chris has taken the initiative to give back to our community, not just as a police officer and as a dad, and he as a serving in the U.S. Army Reserves. as a policeman. He also toured in the Middle East. He worked for UPS, starting up as a package handler. He's decided to take on another task with the help of his sister Tammy Hilton and his family and friends. He's running for office for county commissioner in District 2. So, Chris, it's a lot of work.
It is,
but you're
a
doing
lot of
it. Work. You're doing what we talk about all the time on our show. You're staying engaged and involved in our community to try to make it a better community, not just for yourself, but for all of us.
For all of us, for a long term, for our kids, grandkids.
And the next generation.
And the next generation.
And Tammy, you are throwing your support behind your brother. Tell us, tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, in a minute or so, or 2 minutes, a little bit about your brother and why people should pay attention and cast their vote in the primary. And give us the date of the primary, August 26th?
23rd.
August 23rd. Why they should vote for your brother?
Well, I've gotten the advantage of watching him grow up his entire life. So he's authentic. He literally has a heart for every single person. It doesn't matter what party you run for, it doesn't, or support. It doesn't matter what color your skin. It doesn't matter what background you come from in terms of class or how much money you have or whether you have a drug problem or whether you've done things that have put you in jail or whether you are the owner of a business or a major corporation or famous or not famous. He treats everybody the same and he loves everybody the same. So everything he does straight from his heart. And
with respect for everyone.
Total respect for everyone.
And how fitting to have Chris Hathaway on our show on Independence Day on 4th of July. And for our listeners, I do want to say happy 4th of July. I mean, today's a day when all of us reflect on American values, which are freedom, democracy, justice, equality, the love for our country, the love for each other, and the love that we all can take, continue to have a more perfect union. We're not perfect, but we can all do it. We all have values, and we bring those values to the table, and we can agree to disagree and come together as one. That's what you're doing.
I hope that
you're
trying. Can agree to disagree.
Yeah. So tell us, Chris, why did you decide to run?
Well, first of all, thank you for allowing me to be on your show with you, and happy 4th of July, happy Independence Day. So it started back in February. I was wondering whether I was in the right place, and it took some time to reflect and to meditate and to pray, and really it started to fall into place really quick. Following that session of reflection, I got a couple phone calls and people asking, well, what's happening in the county? Are you paying attention? And I pay attention to local government because, and being in policing, it's important to know what's affecting our community and how the citizens are impacted. So I have to pay close attention. And the questions got bigger. What's happening in the county? Are we going in the right direction? So I invested my time into looking into the other candidates and asking a whole lot of questions. I was a detective. And I'm great at asking questions.
You're a real frontline guy.
Yes.
You see things up close and personal. You're not sitting in an office deciding that you want to be a politician just so that you could rubber stamp things.
No.
You've met the people. You've talked to the people. You know about the homeless problem. Yes. You've seen it up front. So talk to our listeners a little bit about what you see with the homeless population here in Brevard, and what are your plans? What is your platform to help with that?
Right. So when we talk about homelessness, a lot of people think about the 150 people that they see along State Road 3, State Road 520, standing out at the street corners and panhandling. But the conversation never goes into what's happening in the houses. And there's this bigger conversation of homeless in homes. And that goes back to affordable housing, people getting jobs that they can afford to pay for, or just affordable rent, you know?
Yeah.
What does that look like? So there's many thousands of families that are couch surfing, that are sleeping on the floors of their friends, that nobody's talking about because we're so focused on the
person. And they're not counted.
And they're not counted.
They're not counted,
right?
Because they're couch surfing.
Right. Yeah. So being in at the grassroots level, understanding the needs and the impact to these families, these kids that can't go to school, or they go to school and they're showing up late because it's a disorganized house. It's not their own house. They're just struggling to be able to have a square meal and be able to have a comfortable bed to sleep in, a safe place to stay. I totally get that. And there's a lot of organizations here locally centered in the District 2 area that are here to help, but we don't tap those organizations. You know, the county, we repeat so many services that if we would just take a breath, take a tactical pause, if you would, you know, being on the SWAT team, we say, okay, let's take a tactical pause, reset, look at what we have, and then move forward with common sense things, using the people that we already have, the organizations that are already in the county that we already have. We can start to move forward. The foundation is in place. But everybody's talking
oversight,
around it.
Transparency, yes. And oversight. Yes. Yeah, because you'll find like people want to change things and they want to form a new group.
Right.
Well, you already had an old group. Why don't you go with the old group and sit and join them?
I say,
why you have to join your own group? Make up your own group.
I say the wheel isn't broken. The wheel works fine. It rolls great. Let's just make it better.
Right,
you
right.
Know?
There's just too many spokes. There's like spokes floating around everywhere.
Yeah, like right. Bicycle, right? So you went to public school. Here in Brevard,
yes.
And my children went to public school in Brevard. And you know what? We do have a great school system. It's not perfect, but I think we all know that the foundation for everything starts at home.
At home. Yes.
And I would be the first one to say that my kids probably thought I was a witch because I was a disciplinarian. I did believe in discipline in my children and making sure that I knew who their friends were and where they were going. And it's hard as parents. It really yes. is hard as yes. parents, right? Having a child doesn't come with a handbook.
No.
But we, Lord knows, we need a lot more help with public schools and resources and communities.
Yes.
So talk to us a little bit about community schools and public schools and
so,
safety and all that.
So I've always made it a point to make sure that as a law enforcement officer, that I would enhance what the teachers were doing, enhance what the principals were doing. And helping them any way that I could. You know, I stand out at Walmart and do a back-to-school drive and ask people to just give and to make sure that whatever the deficiencies are at home, that the teachers have those tools in the classroom to give to those kids to make sure that those kids don't feel out of place and to take away the excuses. So, first of all, I don't like excuses. I'd rather be direct and talk about what it is that we're talking about. And so when the kid shows up without his backpack, his pencil, his paper, or her pencil, her
find
paper,
out why.
Right. And let's go solve that problem. But in the meantime, have the tools to give to him.
Right.
So I always have thought that if we just address it head on collectively as parents, as teachers, you know, back in 2007, when my wife and I built our house, there were specific schools we wanted them to go to, our children to go to. And that was important to us because that was before there was a school of choice and you could go wherever. So we wanted our kids to go to the schools that we went to, Anderson, Kennedy, and Rockledge High. We're a Rockledge High alumni. We love the city of Rockledge, but we really love Brevard County. And it was important to us that our kids had the same opportunity.
And the experience.
The same experience, the same foundation, because I do believe in the teachers at Brevard Public Schools.
Yeah, I just saw something on Facebook where this dad was saying how wonderful it was to walk into the elementary school and see his teacher teaching his child.
Yes.
And giving her a high five. And it was so emotional because I think the guy was a cop and he just hugged her and the tears started flowing because it's so sweet. But tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, where is exactly is District 2? Who are we targeting to get out on the 23rd and vote for Chris Hathaway?
Hathaway, like throw your hat away. So
Hathaway?
It encompasses
yeah, Hathaway.
Rockledge, Cocoa, all of Merritt Island, and then Cocoa Beach, Cape Canaveral, of course, Patrick. What do they call it?
I hate when they redistrict it like
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
Like you're all the way on this side of the county, and you have to come back up.
It's a lot of land to cover, but in a lot of density. Great people in Merritt Island, they don't have that representation that Rockledge, Cocoa, and Cocoa Beach have, as far as municipality and government. Which there's a large benefit there, you know. But they're on the cusp of, are they going to fall? Are they going to fall so far away that they have to go through blight and all of that other stuff? Do they have to go through the trenches and then rebuild? Or can we protect them and make sure that they drive forward and keep a beautiful, safe community over there?
And I'm going to have Tammy answer this question. So, Tammy, tell our listeners a little bit about your brother and what he does around Christmas time. Because, you know, a lot of politicians, they love photo ops. They'll show up when the lagoon has muck so that they can get a picture with their leg in the muck. Or they'll show up when they're picking up one little piece of trash with a suit. You're not fooling anybody if you're wearing a suit, right? But your brother actually walks the walk. Chris Hathaway walks the walk and does what it takes.
Chris's Christmas probably starts in August, and it is a 7-day-a-week job until 2 days before Christmas. He pulls in and raises the largest amount of toys for the city of Cocoa, the children. He was doing the bringing the train in so the kids could go to see the train that comes through the state of Florida, would stop at Bird Plaza. And there'd be Santa Claus, and there'd be, you know, gifts there that Santa
Hot
was giving
cocoa.
Them.
Yeah.
But
cookies.
It's
yeah.
not just the city of Cocoa. I don't care what part of the county you live in. If you can't provide Christmas for your family, for your children, somebody will tell you, go see Chris Hathaway. He's got a warehouse full. And you don't just walk away with one or two presents for your kids. You walk away with 4 or 5 bags of presents for your kids, because it needs to look like Santa came down the chimney and your kids were special and they got the Christmas that they wanted. And he is able to go to all of these other businesses and do these toy drives, and people donate because they know that he's going to give it to where he says he's going to give
it. Well, they could sense his compassion.
His heart.
And his heart, right? And also, just think about the experience that the kids are having.
Right.
Because if for one day from the year, they can get away from everything else and know someone cares. And I'm glad that he is going to be bringing that same compassion and loyalty and trust and respect to our government.
Yes.
To the county commissioner's seat. And for the people who are listening, you got to make a plan to vote. Because Chris is 40 years old. He's not an old politician that... constantly recycling himself.
Correct.
When you call it a career politician.
Correct.
And if he does get in that seat, he's young enough where he's seen and he's been there, and he will be legislating for all.
Well, and the thing is,
he listens. I think he listens too.
To talk to anybody. So if somebody has questions, ask the question. Ask him. And not only just does he not speak politician, he has solutions. So it's not just an answer. It's okay. Here's the problem. This is how we fix it.
He's
this
a fix-it kind of guy.
Do. Yes.
So Chris, Mr. Chris Hathaway, a police officer who's sitting next to me right here in the studio, chatting on Viewpoint with Sita and friends. Ellen and I are so grateful that you took the time to come in, and I appreciate that you're running for office.
And I would like to just say that this segment is being paid for by the campaign to elect Chris Hathaway for County Commissioner District 2. For all of the advertising people that'll be listening to this later.
You're so sweet. You know, you're so good. You do what I forget.
It's okay.
But let's talk about transparency and accountability in government, because everyone talks about that. And some people do it and some people don't. But once you get elected, what are your plans to make sure that the taxpayers who are taking a shower, brushing their teeth, putting on their uniforms, going to work, maybe no uniform, paying their taxes... And we wanted to go for the people of Brevard and help our citizens. How do we ensure that you're going to be, you know, we could hold you accountable for what's happening with the budget? The budget is on everybody's mind.
The budget is on my mind.
Yes.
I'm a taxpayer too.
Yeah.
And I can tell you.
And
I don't
you know that
you...
feeling when everybody's rushing in the morning.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. So, and that's, thank you for that question, because not a lot of people can tell you how transparency works and what that looks like. So if you go on the county website, and first of all, I don't want to take away from any of the county employees. They pour their heart out into the county and they do with less, and they, you know, they're understaffed just like many municipalities across, you know, the nation. So this is not to take
nursing
away from them. Yes, absolutely.
Right, Kim.
So being able to go in and look at the policies, and I'm sure the policies are probably really good, but the processes are where we fall short. And sometimes the people. And what I mean by that is, I went onto the county website, and to find something to answer a question, instead of calling in or writing an email and taking away time, why isn't that searchable? So every document should be searchable that is created within the county. Every email should be.
And should be short and sweet.
Short and sweet.
You shouldn't have to read 6 pages to find out one thing.
Right.
Who has that kind of time? Nobody does.
Technology is the now. We are in the technological age, and it should just be there for us to get to. You shouldn't have to do a public records request and have to be charged $30,000 to see what a budget looks like, right? A line-by-line budget. That's super simple. It could be right there. The people could go in and look whenever they have a question. And if they can't find the answer to their question, that's when we engage the employees of the county and we say, okay, guide me to where this is at. But it shouldn't be, and it should be completely anonymous. If you don't want to put your name on it, you have the right, is living here in America, in this great country, to ask for public records and to get those public records. It shouldn't cost an exponential amount to have that done, and it shouldn't eat up a whole lot of time. Let's start with the basic foundation of just a search.
Right. And, you know, if you treat your employees right, and you have that transparency and oversight and supervision, everything falls into place, right?
Absolutely.
For example, I mean, if you go into a bathroom and you see somebody throwing away some paper towels that really and surely there's still 100 left.
Yes.
But because you didn't pay for it, you're going to do like this and put it. That's money for the county, right?
Speak up.
If you are at work and people are wasting paper with something printed, hey, that's money.
Money.
You're washing your hands in the bathroom and somebody throws it out with half of it still full. And I've seen this even in my own profession. I've seen where you walk into a patient's room and they've got 5 or 10 deodorants open for one patient. Dude, use the one that you're using first. Tammy, you could back me up with this, right?
Yes.
I mean, or you walk into a patient's room. Well, just because you didn't have to buy it, somebody else is buying it. You can have 5 shampoo bottles open. Or you could have 12 razors in use.
Yes.
Why, right? Back me up. Right. And that goes to all jobs, even in the police department.
Well, and it's our job to speak up.
You know, if
we want to continue to grow and move forward, it takes people to speak up.
Takes a village.
It takes a village to raise a village.
Right. Well, was your brother always this way, Miss Tammy?
From the time he was in, started probably about second grade.
Yeah, he looks out for other people and respect things.
Yes.
Right?
And he's very observant.
Yeah.
So he takes notes. He doesn't forget anything. And he is very methodical and very strategical. And he has a process that he goes through and has gone through his entire life.
And everybody is his friend. He remembers that.
Yes, yes.
So one of the things about Brevard that we've had so many shows about is affordable housing and fair housing. Do you have a plan where someone could go on your platform and read a little bit? You've seen this a lot about affordable housing. Lord knows, my friend just rented a place in Melbourne, and I think it's a 1-bedroom for close to $1,200. A 1-bedroom.
So that's part of the reason I decided to run for county commissioner is once the train stops in Brevard County, regardless of where it stops, whether it's Cocoa, Melbourne, Palm Bay, anywhere in between Rockledge, we are going to turn into a West Palm Beach County. We're going to turn into...
We're already there, I think.
And we're going to have everything that comes with that crammed down our throat. And if we don't do it the right way, our infrastructure is going to suffer. The Indian River Lagoon is going to suffer even more. Housing is going to suffer. I couldn't sell my house and buy something comparable to it right now because the prices are just astronomical.
Yeah.
So making sure... There's a new neighborhood in Cocoa that is 81 houses, 84 houses that are all for rent. You can't buy them. It's lease only. The first neighborhood in Cocoa that's happened to. But even when you drive through the Diamond Square area of Cocoa, you see housing sections. And are they full? Are they empty? You know, there's always the questions of who gets to move into those. I have one lady that I've been trying to help over the last 4 years. She made some mistakes, but her kids fall victim to the mistakes that their mother made. And now it's, are they going to make it through high school or are they going to give in and submit to the streets? So if we don't speak up and start working together, those kids, affordable housing doesn't just affect adults. You know, it has a long-term impact on the health and the safety of the youth that are growing up here. Mm-hmm.
Well, so, it has it on everything, too, because where are people, if they're paying, they're getting paid $8, $10, $12, $15 an hour, how are they going to afford houses here? So the people that are working at the gas stations, at Walmart, even at $15 an hour, that is not enough money to make. Right now, I think the mean money, if you will, for what to survive in Brevard County is $30 an hour. Just because of the food and the gas and all of those
health
things.
Health insurance.
So all health of these folks, unfortunately, the they wind up moving out of Brevard County because they just can't afford it. And then where are we?
Yeah.
You know, now our restaurants still don't have servers. You know, our places don't have workers. And we need everybody.
You say now what?
Exactly.
So Chris, another problem we have in not all areas, because I have to say I could sleep with my door open at night in Lake Washington and I'm safe. Yes. But there's still pockets in our areas of crime. And of course, in my humble opinion, everything starts in the home. With the father, the mother, if you don't have a father and mother, the elders, if not elders, clergy, priest, your church, all of us collectively, the kids are here, we got to watch them, right? But what is your platform for crime, for the pockets of crime that we do see happening?
And
you're a policeman, so yes. You have to...
He's seen it.
He's got to stay within his job description, too. Yeah. It's like me and Tammy talking about nursing.
Right.
We got to remember we're still employed.
Right. Stay in your lane.
So I am actually a crime prevention practitioner through the Office of the Attorney General, Ashley Moody's office.
Yes.
And that's, you know, talking about residential and commercial safety. First of all, we don't have a hiring problem in Brevard County, in the municipalities throughout Brevard County. We have a retention problem. And that comes down to dollars and cents and leadership.
Benefits.
And benefits. And so we got to make sure that, A, the right people are in place, that they're taking care of their employees, because that's the first thing that we have to look at. Because I believe that the agencies do very well. When we start letting the officers and deputies veer out and they're getting snatched up by other agencies, we really have to reflect on what is it? Is it the money or is it something else, something that's tangible that they can hold on to?
So you have to talk to people, communicate.
Yes.
It's like a marriage.
Yes.
Is it working or is it not, right? My son-in-law actually is in law enforcement in Orlando and he absolutely loves it. He wanted to be a cop since he was young, went to college, got his degree, and that's what he's doing. He is a community service officer, and then from there, he hopes to get into the police force.
Yes.
He loves it. That is something that, we talk about all the time on our show is crime prevention. What about going into our schools and encouraging our young ones to become law enforcement officers?
Well, and if you look at the numbers, I think the agencies are doing a better job to be able to have representatives on their forces that represent the community that they police. I think that's important that the people being policed see people that look like them, you know. And I've spent a lot of time getting kids to run towards police officers instead of running away. You know, the one thing that I got to speak directly to the parents out there, if your kid's misbehaving out in public, don't tell them that the policeman's going to come and get them and take them to jail.
Sorry, I did that when my son was little.
Please don't do that.
I did that.
We want them to run to us in crisis instead of run away.
Well, you know what it is? It's like, it's this Indian Trinidadian mentality, right? I was raised with a pledge that we said when we were children that we would respect those in authority.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so when my son was acting up in his car seat, he was about 4 or 5, and he wouldn't listen, kept unbuckling the thing. And I was in Illinois, and I saw the big sign that says police department. I drove right into the police department. The officer came out. He said, ma'am, what's the problem? I said, this kid is going to cause an accident. He's not listening. And you know, that policeman sat down in the back seat and talked to him in a calmer voice than me, in a much nicer way. And he explained to him why he should keep that seatbelt on. And he never did it again.
And we want to make sure that we give the authority back to the parents.
It's times that things have changed.
Yes. Well, and that's important. Take back your household.
So we have 2 minutes. Let's talk about events. We need people to vote for you, and we need them to attend your events, donate time, money, energy, and most important, make a plan to vote. So I don't know if you or Tammy wants to take this about the events.
Sure. So August 23rd is the day for the primary to go out and vote, and use your sphere of influence is what I talk about. Make sure that you reach out to all of your contacts and say, hey, you might not know this guy. You might not know anything about him, but go on his website, chrishadaway.com. He's on Facebook. There's a lot of social media opportunities, and we try to post where we're going to be and when we're going to be there. We kick off this week today, July 4th, with many events that you can catch us. We're going to be at Riverfront Park for the 4th of July.
And then what we're going to be doing is, and people can go onto his website at www.chrishadaway.com. We're going to be doing pop-up events in almost as many neighborhoods as there is in his district between now and the election. And so what that means is Chris is going to be there, and we're going to let everybody in that neighborhood know that they can come down, they can meet him, they can ask him questions, they can talk. We might have lemonade, we might have ice cream, we might have cupcakes, we might have
M&M. Get to know each other. Great. We have 1 minute left, and I wanted to ask you really quick about the Indian River Lagoon and the property tax. Your quick thoughts on that?
First of all, I don't want any new taxes, period. And
I'm clapping for Vermont.
So please, I mean, if we
have enough
trouble
as it is with money,
we have to clearly show that we're doing the right thing before we raise the taxes, before we do that. And that's the part of transparency, being able to show who sits on the board, where the money goes, who's connected to the money, how the money's spent. It shouldn't be a question. There should be a score sheet of our successes and our failures. And it's our job to stand up and say, we did this right or we did it wrong, and we own it, and we'll be truthful every single time.
Right, and don't open a new agency or a new group. Go back to the people who are already doing it and speak with them and find out what they're doing. So give us your 30-second elevator speech, why someone should vote for Chris Hadaway for County Commissioner District 2.
30 seconds, go. Chris Hadaway. So I was born and raised right here in Brevard County. I'm 40 years old. I'm raising a family of three. I have a beautiful wife, 17 years that I've been married. We are grassroots. We are right here. We are embedded in the community. We know what the needs are, and we know what the people are. We're available to talk. I'm always available to speak wherever I'm at. Please come ask hard questions. I'm not going to run from it. I'm here for you. I'm a servant. I'm currently a servant, and I want to continue to serve my community and make sure that we drive us into the future with a great foundation that our children's grandchildren will have a great, safe place to live.
All about public service. And I love it. And you know, one thing I would add to that, Chris, is that when people meet you in person, they will see why to vote for you.
Thank you.
I think you speak from the heart. I trust you. I respect you. And I hope everybody goes out on the 23rd of August and vote for Chris Hadaway.
And we've got all of this posted.
He's a good old American boy, don't you think? That's what I always see when I see people who are giving back so much.
But we always talk about the politicians that walk the talk, just like you had said before about the suit. You know, picking up the one piece of garbage. You can see that Chris right away is somebody that walks the talk and lives what he talks about. So it's a great opportunity for people to get out there and vote for him. Another fantastic viewpoint with Sita and Friends each and every Monday right here at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 1510 WWBC. Please join us each and every week while we have new guests and new things to talk about. See you soon.
Thanks, friends. Thanks.